First of all, I just want to tell you what a pleasant thing it's been, other than the fact that I'm sick. I don't know if I'm allergic to Richmond or Richmond's allergic to me or what, but it's just been a really pleasant time for us to be here this weekend. You know, it's always something special when you get to be with people that you're not normally with, especially people that you have something in common with, that you share the Lord with, and that you only get to see a couple of times a year. It's always a nice time for us, but my testimony is that this year in particular, it's just been a sweet time of fellowship, and I really appreciate it. The planning meeting yesterday was a little different than any of the planning meetings that I can remember having been in. It was just something different about it. And here again, the word is pleasant. It was just pleasant to be there. One of the sisters yesterday in the planning meeting, you know, sometimes sisters, without any intent to teach or to make a big statement or anything, will simply share a testimony, just in reality, from their heart, what's been going on in their life. And a sister shared such a testimony yesterday. She simply mentioned how the last couple of years have been difficult for her and that she'd been up and down in her own spiritual life. And basically the end of the thing yesterday was that she just wanted to be engaged with the Lord Jesus. And she used that word. She wanted to be engaged with the Lord Jesus. And that word expresses exactly the burden that's on my heart this morning. Not only for the brothers and sisters in Richmond, but for brothers and sisters around the world in Memphis, where I live, and in other places as well. Over the last couple of years, in the places where I've been and the places where I have relationship, I have been an eyewitness of a lot of testing and a lot of shaking. And I've had it confirmed by the brothers who have a much bigger sphere of travel and relationship than I do, that this kind of thing seems to be presently all over the world, in groups like ours especially, where there has been some, not just teaching, but experience, where there's been reality of the headship of the Lord Jesus. And yet all over the earth we see in groups like ours testing and shaking. And we all know really what the answer is. Every one of us would say that the answer, and rightly so, to every question, to every problem, to every need, is the Lord Jesus. And as I've prayed and listened to people and borne the burden of people over the last few years, the phrase that keeps coming back to me, the word, it's actually two words, is spiritual engagement. May we be those people in this day who are personally, spiritually engaged. You know, it's not a bad thing either, this idea of engagement with the Lord, since He's coming back for a bride. This is the season when the Holy Spirit is calling out to us personally and individually to be engaged with Him, perhaps more than we ever have been before. In just a moment, we're going to look into the Scripture together, and it's a Scripture that I think is very familiar to most of us. In fact, I almost fear that it's one of those things that's so familiar that as soon as we hear it, we begin to say, I already know this. I don't need to hear this. But I hope this morning that as we look into the Word together that the Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us personally and will make us part of the story. You know, when the Holy Spirit draws you into the story, you see things in a different way than you ever have before. I'm not good at telling jokes, but I thought of one. It's so old, I hope that it's so old that you've all forgotten that you heard it. And I hope that John didn't tell this last year when we were here. I can't remember. And if I can't remember, I hope you don't remember. Especially fitting since we have these rumors of snow today impending on us. Well, perhaps you've heard the story about the Baptist church down in Memphis, where on one side of the church building the Baptist preacher lived, and on the other side of the church building a drunkard lived. And every Sunday this drunkard would come to the meeting, sit on the back row, the pastor seeing him back there would preach a hellfire and brimstone message about the evils of drinking and the sinful life, look right into the man's eyes. And every week the man would sit there, and when the meeting was over, you know, the pastor would go back to the back of the room, wait by the back door, shake people's hands. This man would come, shake the pastor's hand every Sunday morning and say, "Oh, what a good message. I hope they heard it." Well, one day, sure enough, there was a big blizzard in Memphis. Gigantic snowstorm, 2 inches. The city was crippled. No one could come to the meeting. So the only two people who could come to the meeting were the pastor and the drunkard. So they both came to the meeting. The drunkard took his place in the back of the room. Pastor took his place in the front of the room, preached a hellfire and brimstone message, making eye contact with this man the entire time. When the meeting was over, pastor went back to the back door. The drunkard came back, shook his hand, and said, "Oh, pastor, it was a terrific message. If only they had been here to hear it." Well, may we not be like that today. May we hear the word of the Lord. If you would turn with me to Genesis. Chapter 44. Genesis chapter 44. You know, this is the story of Joseph and his brothers, and this is when the brothers had come down to buy food. It was during the famine, and they'd gotten their food from Joseph, and now they're about to go back on their way home. Genesis chapter 44, beginning with the first verse. "Then he commanded his house steward, saying, 'Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his money for the grain.' And he did as Joseph had told him. As soon as it was light, the men were sent away, they with their donkeys. They had just gone out of the city and were not far off when Joseph said to the house steward, 'Up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, "Why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this the one from which my Lord drinks and which he indeed uses for divination? You have done wrong in doing this.' So he overtook them, and he spoke these words to them, and they said to him, 'Why does my Lord speak such words as these? Far be it from your servants to do such a thing. Behold, the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks we have brought back to you from the land of Canaan. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves.' So he said, 'Now let it also be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and the rest of you shall be innocent.' Then they hurried. Each man lowered his sack to the ground, and each man opened his sack. And he searched, beginning with the oldest and ending with the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and when each man loaded his donkey, they returned to the city. When Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, he was still there, and they fell to the ground before him. And Joseph said to them, 'What is this deed you have done? Do you not know that such a man as I can indeed practice divination?' So Judah said, 'What can we say to my Lord? What can we speak? How can we justify ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants, and behold, we are my Lord's slaves, both we and the one in whose possession the cup has been found.' But he said, 'Far be it from me to do this. The man in whose possession the cup has been found, he shall be my slave. But as for you, go up in peace to your father.'" And then down to verse 27. "And your servant, my father, said to us," this is Judah speaking, "'You know that my wife bore me 2 sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, "Surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. And if you take this one also from me, and harm befalls him, you will bring my gray hair down to Sheol in sorrow." Now therefore, when I come to you, come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life. It will come about when he sees that the lad is not with us that he will die. Thus your servants will bring the gray hair of your servant, our father, down to Sheol in sorrow. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then let me bear the blame before my father. Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad, a slave to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest I see the evil that would overtake my father? Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, have everyone go out from me. So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me there. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by great deliverance. Turning to the New Testament, the book of John, chapter 14, and verse 21. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. That Greek word there for disclose means to let oneself to be intimately known and understood. Turning over to chapter 15 of John, read verses 11 through 14. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Can we just have one further word of prayer? Lord, we just want to tell you this morning that we're so glad to be here together. And Lord, we're so glad that you're here in our presence and we need you so desperately. Lord, your servant is weak and unprofitable, but Lord, you are strong and mighty. Lord, you're able to deliver the word to us this morning, to speak to us, to help us. And Lord, we ask for that right now. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would make yourself known. And Lord, that you would get all the glory for yourself. Now, Lord, we do ask this with thanksgiving in Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, in the story that we just read, especially the part about Joseph, it's full of imagery, of types and pictures. And you know, it's a very interesting thing about pictures and types in the Old Testament. It can just be a story. You know, it can just be a story with a simple meaning. And in a way, this is the good thing about these kind of stories, because a child can basically understand the story. But the more the Lord opens our eyes to the meaning of things, And the more the Lord draws us personally into the story and makes it a personal issue to us, everything in the story begins to change. Let me just give you an example in case anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about when I say types and pictures. Some of those brothers who history has called the brethren from over 100 years ago made a very interesting observation, so I can't take credit for this. I didn't think it up myself. And if it's wrong, I won't take the blame for it either. I'll just say what they said. One of those brothers pointed out over 100 years ago, who's a college professor, pointed out that Laban, Jacob's close relative that he had a lot to do with, that Laban is a type and a picture in the scripture of the outward man. Laban's a type and a picture of the natural man, if you will, and that what he does and what he figures in the scripture and the way he's expressed in the scripture is he is that which tries to keep the man of God from leaving outward and natural things. And that's why Laban manipulated things so that Jacob would marry Leah first, because that's the tradition. The oldest had to be married first. So the outward man, the natural man, if you will, he tries to stop the man of God from leaving outward and natural things. And Jacob's brother, even closer relative than Laban, his actual brother Esau, it's been said that he represents the carnal mind. Not an enemy, he's a member of the family, but he represents the carnal mind. And you all know that when Jacob was on his way to Canaan, that Esau came with 400 men crossing his path, hindering him temporarily from entering heavenly land. So the outward man, he wants to stop the man of God from leaving outward things, from leaving traditions, and the carnal mind wants to stop the man of God from entering spiritual things. Now, brothers and sisters, for you and I, the point is this. Is these are not far off enemies. This is not something distant and far away that comes to attack us, to stop us from going where we want to go spiritually. This picture of close relatives, brothers and sisters, is something in us, something with us. The biggest hindrance, I believe, to our going on to higher ground is ourselves. And oh, how the pictures and the types and the Bible open this door to us and cause us to see these things and makes it a personal issue for us to see something about ourselves. Well, in this story that we just read, Joseph, of course, is a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus Himself. And Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus as Savior, as Provider, as Overcomer. And the story begins with Joseph telling his house steward to put a silver cup into the baggage of one of his brothers. Brothers and sisters, the house steward represents something too. The house steward of Joseph's house. Who is the steward of our Lord and Master's house? Is it not the Holy Spirit? So in one sense, is not the house steward a picture of the Holy Spirit? And it's an amazing thing, saints. Sometimes our Lord has the Holy Spirit place a silver cup in our baggage to keep us from getting away with something. And I'll explain that in a minute. He puts a silver cup in our baggage to keep us from getting away with something, to keep us from going back to where we came from, and to bring us to another place. I think probably you're familiar with the fact that silver in the Scripture always has something to do with redemption. It's not a gold cup. It's not a brass cup of judgment. It's not a wooden cup. It's a silver cup. The Holy Spirit puts a silver cup in our baggage sometimes. It's not to destroy us. It's not to embarrass and humiliate us, although there may be some embarrassment attached. Very important that we understand that the Lord does this for redemption, because He's committed to redeeming us completely and to give us the opportunity to deal with all unfinished business. This is really what this story is about, at least this part of the story and what's on my heart this morning. Joseph knew exactly who his brothers were. Here they came down. Just put yourself in their shoes. Here they came down because there was a famine. There's need in the land. They just came down to get some food. They're conducting their business. They don't have any idea who it is they're dealing with. They don't know who Joseph is. He knows exactly who they are. They've probably forgotten about Joseph, even forgotten what they had done. But he knew exactly who they were. They were just doing business. You know, we, in some ways, are like these brothers. We want the Lord to bless our business, and He does. We want the Lord to bless our actual business, our daily business, our things in our family, our work, our school, whatever it is we want, and we expect the Lord to bless our business, and He does. We pray for the Lord to give us our daily bread and to bless our work and help us in our responsibilities and the things we have to do, and He does because He loves us, and He's so faithful. But the Lord Jesus is ultimately more concerned that we do spiritual business with Him. And sometimes when it seems that the Lord's not blessing our business, it's not because He's trying to wreck our business. It's because He's trying to bring us, perhaps, into the place of doing spiritual business with Him, making a spiritual transaction with Him. Also says twice, you know, Joseph, it makes a point here that Joseph was a man who was able to practice divination. There's a lot of different ideas about what that means. Obviously, I don't think that Joseph was practicing witchcraft or anything of that nature. I'll just tell you what I believe that it has to do with. We deal with a God. We have a God who sees. We have a God who sees everything. And there's nothing hidden from His sight. And you know, we are like children in some ways, aren't we? We're His children and we're like children sometimes. We come to the Lord. We say, Lord, bless my business. Lord, bless my affairs. Lord, in these things I've decided to do, Lord, lead me and bless me and help me. And we forget, don't we, that the one that we call on and the one that we pray to and have a relationship with, there's absolutely nothing hidden from His sight. He knows everything about us. He knows how many hairs are on our heads. He even knows what we're thinking. He even knows what our motives are. It's a little scary. He knows everything about us. There's absolutely nothing hidden from Him. This is the one that we deal with. This is the one who is arranging circumstances so that we can do business with Him. And this is what the Lord did for these brothers. He arranged a circumstance so that they had to come back and so that they had opportunity to deal with unfinished business, so that they had the opportunity to make what I call a spiritual transaction. Everybody knows what a business transaction is. A business transaction, you give something and you get something back, hopefully. And hopefully, good businessmen say that a good business transaction is when it's good for both parties. You get in a transaction, you have to give something and you get something back. It's not a gift. It's not the same thing as a gift. We're not talking about salvation here, by the way. I want to make that very clear. Salvation is a gift. You don't do anything to deserve it. It's just a gift. What we're talking about here, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about something else. You know, I don't want to get off the subject, but let me just say something that keeps coming up over and over and over. The Lord loves us, and He forgives. He has forgiven us, hasn't He? And what happens to us sometimes, because we know that the Lord forgives our sins, what happens to us sometimes is when the Holy Spirit begins to convict us, when He begins to sort of speak to us a little bit, when there's that little sense of something uncomfortable, and physiologically, you know, it seems like when the Holy Spirit, when there's not peace there, that feeling of discipline feels in my body, as far as I can tell, exactly the same way the feeling of condemnation feels. Condemnation ought to always be rejected, but discipline should always be embraced. And if we're not careful, we will reject the discipline of the Lord. You know, physiologically, in our emotions and in our bodies, sometimes we confuse the two. And so when the Lord begins to deal with us, we sometimes we find ourselves in some of our groups, you know, singing 50 rounds of, a song about the blood. Well, it's true. The blood cleanses us from everything. This is not about our forgiveness. It's about our completion. The Lord loves us so much, and He's so committed to you and I. He's committed to you and I so much that He's willing to do whatever it takes to give us the opportunity to go to higher ground. And that's really what all this is about. To me, this is one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible, because when the brothers came back and they realized that Benjamin was going to become a slave and have to stay there, Judah brought himself into the light. He didn't have to do it. He didn't know he was talking with Joseph. He didn't know that the person he was talking to knew all about him and what they'd done. Judah, because of his love for his father and because of his love for the lad, my Bible refers to him as the lad, the little one. You know who the little ones are? They're not children. Well, children may be included. But the little ones, spiritually, it's not necessarily the children. It's whoever those are who among us who are helpless. It's those among us who need us to stand up for them. That's what the lad represents. I find myself asking myself a question. Am I laying my life down for the little ones? Judah brought himself to the light. He said, "This will kill my father. If the lad doesn't go back, if this little one doesn't go back to my father, it'll be too much for my father. We can't do that to my father." Do you see? Do we love our father so much? Do we realize that our father is bound with the little ones? Remember it said his soul was bound with his soul. That's literally what it says. Jacob was bound with Benjamin. Do we see our father, our heavenly father, as being bound with us and being bound with every one of us? Those who seem uncomely, those who seem unimportant, he's bound with those. He cares. It's something on his heart concerning the brothers and sisters. And Judah, oh, the Lord orchestrates circumstances, doesn't he? And Judah brought himself to the light. He told Joseph what they had done. Judah brought himself into the light. He said, "Keep me. Keep me a slave and let him go." And when he said this, well, a couple of things were happening. One, Judah was making a spiritual transaction right there. He was buying, he was buying gold refined by fire. In fact, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just read it. It's what the Lord says to the church. "Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see." Judah made a spiritual transaction, and when he did, that's the very thing that opened the door. And Joseph couldn't contain himself any longer. He sent everyone out. And that's when he revealed to his brothers who he was. Brothers and sisters, this matter of coming to the light, of allowing ourselves to be brought into the light, is a very personal issue, and no one makes you do it. That's what's really tricky about this thing. You don't have to do it. Nobody will know. But when we bring ourselves into the light, we receive something that I believe there's no other way to receive it. When we come into the light, we see something of the Lord, and we see something of ourselves. We see something of the Lord that was otherwise hidden to us and would have remained hidden. And we see something of ourselves that was hidden from us. I don't believe that any amount of self... what do psychiatrists do? No amount of self-analysis. 53, I'm already senile. No amount of self-analysis, I don't think, will ever help really cause us to see ourselves. I hope there are no psychologists in the room. I didn't mean that as a... But when we come into the light, we do see something. We receive something that we never would have seen. And you know, it's just a little bit of light. Another thing was mentioned in the... planning meeting yesterday. There were some names just mentioned in the planning meeting yesterday. David... and Moses and Paul. And what I'm about to say was not mentioned in the planning meeting yesterday, but I've just thought of it as these names were being mentioned. All three of these men have something really amazingly in common in a big way and speak to us in this matter. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 36, "In thy light we see light." It's an amazing thing. In the Lord's light, that's where we see light. In Him, in His light, we see light and we find light. And both Moses and Paul, when they met the Lord, their initial salvation experience, if you will, when they met the Lord, they met the Shekinah glory of the Lord. They met the light. You remember Moses met the tree that had the light but wasn't consumed. Paul met that light, did a voice out of the light, and he was blinded temporarily. That was the beginning experience. And I think it's safe to say that David and Moses and Paul knew something about the light in a personal and a real way, and that they knew something in a personal and a real way about what's in man and about what's in themselves. And I believe that the Lord made them safe vessels by showing them something from the light. One more interesting thing about light, about spiritual light. To me, it's one of the most interesting little verses in the Bible from 1 John. If we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You know, if most of us were writing that verse, you know what I mean. If we were writing that verse, not under the ordination of the Holy Spirit, we would have said, if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with, and then whatever your list is, the Scriptures. Or we have fellowship with the church. Or we have fellowship with Bible study. If we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. I want to go back just for a minute to this matter of the lad and of the little one. Brothers and sisters, it's not just a Bible story thing. It's a practical thing. It's something very much on the heart of our Lord, that we would be finding out what it means to lay our lives down for one another. And the thing about it is I'm not sure we can lay our lives down for one another just by deciding to lay our lives down for one another. You know, you can't do it by willpower. You can't do it because you know you're supposed to. But when we love our Father, when we walk in the light, we love the brothers and sisters, and we watch out for our Father's interests. You know what happens when we're not motivated by love and by light? We do things supposedly on the Father's behalf, but really they're on our behalf. But when we walk in the light and we're laying our lives down for the brothers, loving the Lord's personal interests are furthered, and we get to have a part in the matter. There's only one way that we can have fruitful ministry and have a part in the things that are important to the Lord. It's always on His terms, never on our terms. And this is the thing that the Lord is calling His people to in this day. Personal, spiritual engagement. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal. And don't be surprised if and when you find a silver cup in your own baggage. It's the Lord's intention to bring you to higher ground and to make you a fruitful vessel. When Judah did this thing, he became shepherd. He became shepherd of his father's flock. As soon as he brought himself into the light and repented, he became shepherd of his father's flock. Oh, brothers, we want to be shepherds. We want to be ministers, you know. We want to accomplish something for the Lord. And the only way we can accomplish anything for the Lord is to do business with the Lord. It's not by our gifts, or it's not by manipulating something or seeing how many speaking invitations we can get or something like that. Nothing will happen eternally unless you and I do business with the Lord spiritually. Turn over with me to Philippians just for a moment. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Well, really, this is church life. This is what life in the body of Christ is intended to be, looking out for the interests of others. Finding out what it means to be emptied of self. And you know what the wonderful thing about the church is that the Lord is head. We're His body and He is head. And so He's committed to orchestrating circumstances for us. We are in the school of Christ. And as long as we're under the Lord's headship, He will continually orchestrate circumstances for us that are enabled to protect us from ourselves, to show us what we're really like, and to bring us to higher ground. You know what happens to us when things are going the way we want them to go? When we're deluded into thinking that everything's okay, and that we don't have any need. We just sort of go along. But the Lord, out of His great love, out of His commitment, He allows things to come that stop us in our tracks. And then we become desperate. And then the Lord begins to point things out to us. And He begins to work in our life in a different way. And it seems so difficult and so impossible. But the end of the matter, we exercise faith. We trust Him. We don't give up. He certainly doesn't give up. And He brings us into a broader place. Over the course of my adult life, and I know others have this testimony, I have seen the Lord work in the lives of His people in three areas primarily. In the area of finances, in the area of physical health, and in personal relationships. The Lord seems to get at His people, to have a way into His people's lives in these three areas. Of course there are more, but especially in these three areas, in terms of our jobs and our finances, our health, and our relationships. The Lord is continually allowing things that are too big for us. It's not intended to destroy us. It's intended to show us what's really important and to bring us to a higher ground. Well, this is Judah's story. He came to the light. There's something in it for every one of us. And Joseph's story is a little bit different. I just want to read one more time what Joseph's response to things were at the chapter 45, going back to verse 4. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me." And they came closer. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus is so interested in bringing us closer and closer to Himself. That's what all this is about. The Lord's coming back for a bride. Not some distant relationship, but the most intimate relationship there is. He wants to draw us into close, personal relationship with Him. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer and closer to me." And they came closer, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Saints, I wonder if when we're mistreated, or if we think we've been mistreated, I wonder when there's difficulty in our assemblies or in our personal lives. I'm personally convinced, without any shadow of a doubt, that every man and woman who loves the Lord and who desires to press on with the Lord and to make impact on the Lord's behalf, I'm convinced that sooner or later you will be misunderstood by your brothers and sisters. And the thing that's precious to you, whatever it is, I don't know yours, I only know mine. Whatever it is that the Lord's shown you and given you personally, and He has, it'll be stomped on by your brothers and sisters. I'm sure of it. In that moment when you are failed, when you feel failed, when you feel unappreciated, perhaps even dismissed, will you see it as an opportunity that the Lord has brought you to a place ahead of your brothers and sisters so that you can preserve life for others? This is the way that the Lord gives it to us to be those who preserve life. It's not just by getting smarter and more capable, a better gift. The Lord is working in our lives, leading us in such a way as so that we can know things, not just here, but so that we can have things experientially in a living way that produce fruit for one another. Oh, brothers and sisters, unless we enter in and become personally engaged, it'll never happen. Praise the Lord for our sister's testimony yesterday. May it be the testimony. I want it to be my testimony. And I know it's the word of the Holy Spirit in this season that the Lord's people need. It's time for every one of us to have this personal relationship with the Lord. when we're lonely, I tell you, we need to find the Lord. I'm not talking about dismissing the lonely people. I have a heart for those who I believe are lonely in Memphis. But when we're lonely, we need to find the Lord Jesus as the one who fills up that void. When we're hurt, we can find the Lord Jesus as the one who has endured the ultimate hurt. When we feel dismissed, we can find the Lord Jesus as the one who has experienced the ultimate dismissal. We can know the Lord as Savior, as preserver of life, as overcomer. We can see Him in reality in a way that we've never seen Him before. And when the difficulties come into our life, it's the Lord's highway. It's the Lord's orchestrated way for us to come into vision and into real seeing. Don't be surprised along the way. We see something of Him. We see something of ourselves. This is the Lord's way of bringing us into revelation and into light. All brothers and sisters, may we be those who in a personal matter, in a personal way, deal with this matter of preserving life. I believe the Holy Spirit is asking us a question over and over in these days. Are we preserving life? Do we know what it means to preserve life for our brothers and sisters, for each other? Well, I just want to close with this matter in John that we read in John 15 and verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Oh, brothers and sisters, how we must have the joy of the Lord. If we don't have the joy of the Lord, we can't go on. There's strength in the joy of the Lord. But you know what? We can't get the joy of the Lord through willpower. We can't conjure up the joy of the Lord. And you know, when we have the joy of the Lord, we sing happy songs. But I'm not sure that singing happy songs will give us the joy of the Lord. Might make help us to realize how much we need the joy of the Lord. And here's a wonderful thing. The Lord says, I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. The Lord has empowered us. This is not something we can't do. It's not something we can't have. It's something we already have. The Lord has empowered us to have joy. Joy is the benefit of loving the brothers and sisters. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. We're commanded to love one another. Did you know that? It was not an option. It's a commandment. And greater love than this has no man, that he lays down his life for his friends. You know, sometimes we say to each other in Memphis, you know, we remind each other often that in our lives there seems to be a doorway. It's like there's a door in our lives and it says discipleship, higher ground, and then in smaller letters it says personal loss, suffering, danger. But when you go through that door, you can't see it until you go through. But when you go through the door on the other side, the Lord Jesus has met you in a way that He would have never met you had you not done it. Well, this is a simple message this morning and a simple burden. And I want to be clear about it. The burden this morning, the word of the Lord this morning, is that we should simply be those, we must be those, who are personally engaged, personally bound, attached to the Lord Jesus in a spiritual way, attached to heavenly things in a different way, in a bigger way than we ever have been before in our lives. It's not enough just to go on with the group. Brothers and sisters, we have to be bearing up personally. This is the way that we will help one another. The Lord has circumstances in every one of our lives that have our name on it and nobody else's. and the Lord also has empowered us with joy. May we be those in this season, lights in the world, individual lights in the world. Isn't it interesting that the scripture says you are lights, plural, each one a light, walking in the light, loving one another, ministering to our Heavenly Father this way, and receiving joy. Joy that there's no other way to be had. It's ours, brothers and sisters. This is what the Lord has called us to in these days. This is what He's after in these days. May it be our possession. Praise the Lord. Lord, I just do want to thank You this morning again for the opportunity to be here with the brothers and sisters. Lord, we do want to thank You for Your kindness, Your grace. Oh, Lord, Your patience. Lord, the commitment of the Holy Spirit to not leave us alone. Lord, thank You so much for keeping Your word and not deserting us. Lord, You alone are faithful. Lord, do help us to be listening in these days, to be hearing everything that You say to us, to be following the Lamb wherever He goes. Oh, Lord, we see this morning that we need You desperately. And we also see, Lord, that You alone are faithful. Lord, praise Your name. Find us, Lord. Take us on with Yourself, Lord. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.